Welcome in to another new podcast from the publications team at NACE International. My name is Ben Dubose, and I'm a staff writer with Materials Performance Magazine, perhaps best known as the official membership magazine at NACE. I also write for Coatings Pro Magazine as well. Today, we're continuing our COVID-19 interview series looking at the impact of the pandemic on the corrosion industry, and we're joined today by a couple of experts from Mobiltex. Mobiltex is known for its cathodic protection monitoring, which it uses for corrosion detection across thousands of miles of pipelines throughout North America. Let's start by welcoming Mobiltex to the podcast. And first, we've got product manager Will Mays. Will, how are you?
Hey, very well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have your insight. And we've also got CEO Mark Bracken. Mark, how are you? How's Canada?
I'm great. Thank you, Ben. And Canada, like the rest of the world, is severely impacted economically and socially by the COVID-19 pandemic. But so far, everybody at Mobiltex and most people as in Canada as well as the United States, as we know, are staying safe and social distancing. And I think all through North America, we're all hearing the same types of things.
For those who aren't aware, Mobiltex...
You know, when I look at...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that we are an essential business as well, and like many essential businesses throughout the North American economy, we continue to operate through the pandemic as well, and trying to do that in a safe manner.
So let's continue on that theme. For those who aren't aware, Mobiltex, based out of Calgary, what's different as we're speaking in late May compared to the end of last quarter, say, at the end of February? Talk about what's different day-to-day at Mobiltex. And actually, if you could, give us a little bit of an overview of what your company does as well. I mentioned earlier, cathodic protection monitoring, really big in the pipeline industry in North America. But if you could, I guess let's start there. Number one, give us a little bit of a company overview, Mark, and then transition into what's different day-to-day during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Sure, Ben. That's a good question. So, Mobiltex is one of the major players in cathodic protection monitoring. So, you know, with corrosion protection, we monitor rectifiers and test points. As everybody involved in corrosion protection realizes, with cathodic protection, there's a balance. If you don't put enough current to a pipeline, it continues to corrode. If you don't put enough, or if you put too much current in, you'll get structural damage in the form of hydrogen embrittlement. So cathodic protection monitoring tries to keep that fine balance. And as we know, this is a regulated industry, so all our clients have to report the levels of corrosion protection back to regulators, both in Canada and the United States. Moving on to your second part of your question, when the pandemic hit us, our immediate reaction, like everybody, was how will it affect our business? And it affected our business in a couple of ways. First, on our supply chains. Mobiltex is vertically integrated, so we actually build all our circuit boards and products in-house, but we still rely on Chinese components in many situations. So we were impacted, and we actually repatriated some of our manufacturing, for example, on the plastics into Calgary as part of this. It was just a natural thing that we did. By March, we had kind of caught up. So our business was, although it was remained strong, we weren't able to deliver in February. We made everything up in March. And, you know, we've seen a mix of the impact on our business. I think as the pandemic continues, people do not want to travel as much, so they're monitoring more. On the other side of it, we've had some orders not necessarily canceled but pushed back as people have issues getting into the field, and obviously some companies are trying to minimize the amount of travels that their employees are doing. But bottom line is that our customers still have to get this critical data to the regulators, and they are still buying products from us, installing product, perhaps at a lower level. But in other cases, I think they're taking this opportunity to do more monitoring, not less.
This question can be for either or both of you, but as a company that's based in Calgary, but you've got some presence in Toronto. Of course, your products use throughout North America, and your products themselves are interesting for this particular time period because of the fact that a lot of folks don't want to travel. As you said, their remote monitoring solutions can really help a lot of people out of a jam when it comes to the more traditional activities of having to put human bodies on some of these lines for monitoring purposes. So I think the technology in and of itself is a story, but another part of it is the variance from region to region. That's something that we're hearing a lot just here in the US. I'm based in Houston, and from one state to the next, the picture can be so different. For you all based in Canada, but I know you have some business in the US as well. Both of those countries, very large. How do you work between the various standards that are in place from one location to the next? Talk, if you could, about the dynamics of having so many different regulations, or in some ways, does that make it easier since I guess everyone, at least over the last couple of months, has had to adopt these more virtual modes of communication?
Yeah, and you know, we, as you noted, we do actually part of the majority of our business actually in the United States, although we have a significant base in Canada as well. And as we all know, the Canadian-American border is closed to all but essential travel. So that hasn't really affected our business. More to the point, though, we're doing work in New York State, for example, which has been highly impacted, as well as work in other states, which has not been nearly as impacted. But from the perspective of us and many other companies, you know, we've restricted everything but non-essential travel. As we know, all of North America is trying to reopen business, but having to do it very safely. So we're still trying to keep our people off the road as much as possible and do as everything as remotely as we can. We've kept our production companies production facilities open and actually added a second shift, both for risk mitigation and to handle some influx of orders we've seen as well. Within Canada, Ontario and Quebec have been impacted the most heavily, whereas British Columbia is probably the least impacted. So we do see, you know, from customer to customer, we do see very dramatic differences in how they're handling the pandemic and how they're getting their people out. What we are seeing, though, is that work is continuing. The field work, this is, as we all know, this time of year is when a lot of companies do their annual surveys of their pipeline and do a lot of work on the pipelines. For the most part, we're seeing that continue, even to the point where we've had two letters from our customers when things were in complete lockdown in a few states stating that we were an essential service. And if we were questioned on what we were doing, we were to show copies of this letter to the relevant authorities. So that's how far it went on some of the more heavily impacted areas. You know, I think overall, though, people are realizing that, you know, there has to be a good balance between keeping people safe and continuing the economy. You know, a lot of our business is on gas pipelines, and people have you know, this is essential. It's for power generation. People are still heating their homes in the northern parts of North America with natural gas. This is essential service. So, and you can't all of a sudden let critical infrastructure and public safety go to the wayside because of the pandemic. And that's what we're seeing as an overriding theme. Well, we're having to learn how to deal with customers in different parts with different levels of impact of the pandemic, I think, Ben.
Yeah, and another thing I would add to that, Mark, I think those are all great points. I think, you know, the pandemic's actually kind of presented an opportunity, I think, for us to think about how we communicate with our customers and how we can kind of market our new products and new innovations to our customers, but also to our distribution partners and our supply chain. And I think that, you know, looking back at the end of Q1, you know, before kind of the lockdown measures really came into place, we did our first webinar via Materials Performance. And really, you know, that platform enables you to speak to new innovations at a broader scale. And it really allows you to kind of bridge these different regional complexities that we have right now. And of course, you know, our sales guys are chomping at the bit to get out, back out on the road and to see their customers face to face and try to solve some of those challenges. But we really, you know, taken this time to think through how we can speak to those customers and set up kind of, you know, plenty of Zoom style presentations about new product innovations, things that we have down the pipeline, gathering feedback, trying to solve those problems. So it's been a really interesting kind of opportunity to explore those new methods of communicating as well.
Well, as the
Ben, the last point I would
go ahead.
Sorry, Ben. The last point I would add was that just from a cultural and from a difference that. We saw a stat the other day that suggested as of May 20th, both Canada and the United States have executed almost the exact amount of testing per capita at about 37, which is, I think, is a pretty fascinating statistic. So when you look at it and the complexities of doing testing and tracking and all that thing, I think both countries are trying to figure out how to deal with this and get up to speed with it. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I was going to ask you, when you mentioned those Zoom meetings, you're not able to meet face-to-face for the most part right now, and I think everyone listening understands why. But when you do have meetings, be it on the phone, Zoom, whatever it is, with your clients, as the product manager, what are you hearing from them? What's the feedback? What are they looking for in, again, late May? That say is a little bit different than what their needs were at the start of this year?
Yeah, sure. No, that's a great question. I think, you know, I think it's important to kind of, you know, classify or define or understand, I guess, who our customers really are. And they're owners, they're operators of critical infrastructure, and also the service companies that serve those critical infrastructure segments, such as oil and gas pipelines, water transmission and distribution pipelines. So really, these assets and the services that our customers provide, they haven't changed at all. And if you know, they're the people that are providing, you know, keeping your lights on, ensuring that the gas gets to your stove, and really keeping the clean water in your tap. So in terms of the context of essential business, I think you can't get more essential than that. And really, their end responsibilities haven't changed at all, as Mark alluded to before. You know, they have regulatory requirements to go out ensure that they're providing protection for these assets, and none of these things have been pushed down the road really in terms of what their requirements and what their responsibility is. So in a sense, you know, conversations with them still, you know, still really kind of revolve around business as usual, in the sense of what they need to try to do. At the same time, I think, you know, the lockdown, the travel restrictions that Mark was alluding to, have impacted the way that they operate. And I think also, you know, one of the main focuses, if not the main focus, has been on employee health and safety and ensuring that, you know, field technicians and people that do travel are able to do so safely. You know, our operators, as Mark kind of alluded to, it's a very busy time right now for them. They have to do their springtime annual surveys, and they're really, you know, walking thousands and thousands of miles of pipeline across North America to conduct these surveys. And what does that entail? That entails staying in hotels and eating out of restaurants, which are, you know, two of the probably most uncommon and risky, if not restricted, activities over the past few months. So for the most part, these activities are still ongoing. Operators have introduced some overnight travel restrictions. So it's more daytime travel, and that kind of mandates longer daytime trips. Operators that would traditionally kind of travel across North America to different divisions and help out have been restricted. So there's a lot more kind of remote collaboration across these organizations. But, you know, if anything, I think this is really reinforcing the benefit of remote monitoring technologies. Having your data collection activities automated not only provides the benefit of, you know, resting assured that you're providing the adequate protection for your, you know, your critical pipeline assets, but you're also ensuring that you can pull data off of your network to comply with regulatory standards. That you can kind of, you know, extrapolate forward and think through how you're going to do your asset replacement programs in years ahead as well. So I think, you know, this period that we're in right now is really reinforcing, the need for and the benefits around remote monitoring technologies, for sure.
I think one thing that works well for you all, it's more a matter of marketing than it is development, because it's not as if you've had to develop new products. Your existing technologies can work very well in this particular environment. Now, as you said, of course, these operators are essential businesses anyway, but from the context of some of these new technologies that you all are introducing, it's not something that you had to rapidly develop in response to the pandemic. It's just, in many ways, the pandemic makes them even more important. So as I see it, it feels like more of a marketing role than anything else, because the technologies are already in place that allow you all to help these operators get through this challenging time and the restrictions that go with it. So if you could, well, I guess first off, am I correct in that assessment? And then secondly, you know, give me an example of a technology or two that's working really well in the industry, given this current situation and the dynamic with some of these restrictions.
Yeah, no, I think, Matt, I think you are right in your initial assessment, saying that, you know, there are existing technologies largely that can aid operators in these times. And it is a matter of marketing, I think. Well, not marketing, but also, I guess awareness and understanding that, you know, there's more to get a business case rollout than just the dollars and cents. There's right. A lot of intangibles around health and safety of your field technicians, and especially resilience during these times. So I think, you know, that's definitely something that we're aware of, but we're also, you know, during a crisis such as COVID, you need to be very, you know, conscious and aware of marketing and really make sure that you, I think, reinforce the correct messaging to your customers. In terms of, like, just cherry picking one product that I think is super interesting is, you know, we've evolved in recent years to really expand on our remote monitoring and remote interruption capabilities. And we're really excited this year with our new product innovations around test point monitoring and test station monitoring for things like coupons and bonds. And mm-hmm. And even now, as we look ahead into June, we're going to be launching a new product that's going to automate pipe-to-soil test point readings. And why that's significant is we're really extending the volume and the level of assets that are in the field that can be automated, essentially. And automated easily with a robust, monitoring unit and a very good, data collection backbone and data management software as well. So, you know, just projecting that forward, what we're doing is really expanding our existing monitoring paradigm into a new paradigm of industrial IoT. And what this translates to the end user is that they will, you know, essentially have less requirements for people to go to the field, and during crises such as these, they can have even more assurance that their assets are operating as they think they are, essentially.
Yeah, and if I think that's a great answer, and to kind of move it up a level, Ben, the way we looked at it is we already had a pretty robust new product roadmap based on all the good things that Will is talking about. And the desire of our clients, even before the pandemic, to do more monitoring, increase data reliability and data integrity, and be able to learn more about their pipelines. Because, you know, the monitoring of rectifiers has been around for a long time, and it's not a new thing. But the control, adding that control aspect to the test points, where now we can not only monitor them, but we can interrupt things like bonds and anode beds to simplify operationally the close interval surveys that our customers have to do, I think is going to be a quantum leap in thinking how you can manage your pipelines, and then bringing in a really low cost pipe to soil measurement, as Will said. So, but we were already thinking like this before the pandemic, but some of these things now, I think, take on a new sense of urgencies for our customers, because, this was all science fiction literally 6 months ago, right? And now some of the movies, some of the horror movies are actually coming to fruition. So people are thinking maybe about traveling less, monitoring more, and being able to run their infrastructure with more information that we gather remotely.
Interested in a career in corrosion or looking for a chance to sharpen your skills? Well, now you can take NACE International's industry-trusted courses right from your home. Choose from a comprehensive library of e-courses available on demand and covering several popular industry topics. Start, pause, bookmark the training to run errands, and pick up right where you left off. NACE training supports every stage of your corrosion career. Visit www.nace.org/online to browse and register today.
We're finishing up this podcast with Mark Bracken and Will Mays of MobileTechs. My name is Ben Dubose, staff writer with NACE Publications. Mark, to continue on that theme as we close out this episode, what's the outlook for the foreseeable future? Really, at this point, we're getting close to the second half of the year. From your perspective, I know, as you've said a few times, a lot of your customers are essential business, so they haven't been as impacted as many others around the world, many other industries, that is. But as far as the remainder of 2020, the restrictions that are in place at the moment, is this more or less the status quo until there's some big breakthrough with regards to drug treatment or a vaccine? And even in a few months or years, when there is a vaccine, are there certain elements of this that might become permanent in regards to using remote technologies rather than sending a person physically in the field at all times?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something, Ben, that we've been thinking a lot about. So the first part of your question, our outlook for the year is our business has been remarkably strong given everything going on, and we continue to see that it will continue that way. Not that things haven't been pushed out, but wherever there's been something pushed out, it seems somebody has said, hey, I got to monitor more, exactly to your point. What we're starting to see in Canada and both the United States is that people are realizing that everything we've been doing is not because we don't think that the virus is going to continue to spread, but really it's to keep from overloading our medical systems. People are also realizing that, you know, you can't just shut down the entire world economy for a year and a half while a vaccine is potentially developed. So we are seeing, you know, at the very beginning of this pandemic, everything shut down, and for 2 weeks we weren't doing any quotes. And then gradually things, I won't say it got back to normal, but it got back to pretty close to what we would normally expect this time of year, mm-hmm. as people figured out how to do business. And we think that's what's going on now, is we've figured out how to work remotely while keeping our production staff safe. Many other companies are as well. So we think that we'll have a reasonable year given the fragile state of the economy, but mainly because of the fact that most of our customers provide this essential service. Moving forward to the second part of your question, yes, I believe that there's a step change here on how people are going to do things. And I think we're all reading articles and magazines how, you know, is work from home going to stay? Are office buildings occupancy going to be going down? We as a company are realizing that we're working very, very efficiently with most of my engineering working from home, customer services working from home, product management in the form of Will is working from home. I spend both time in the office and at home, but we're trying to avoid, our production staff have no choice but to be in the office, and we have to keep them safe. So we have some people that cannot work from home, and it's our duty to make sure that they stay as safe as possible and continue to provide that essential service. But yeah, we see a lot of companies probably rethinking how they're going to do business moving forward. And, you know, I think we're all realizing that there's an opportunity here to rethink how we do business. And I'm seeing it in the way our customers are operating as well. So absolutely, we are going to see people who have never thought of monitoring or happy to put somebody behind a windshield to do it manually are now thinking that that's probably has to change, and I have to de-risk my operations moving forward.
That makes a lot of sense. Mark, Will, thank you all both so much for the time. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Absolutely, Ben. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Good conversation there with Will Mays, product manager for Mobiltex, and Mark Bracken, CEO of Mobiltex. They're an interesting company, certainly within our space. They've been a big player in the cathodic protection monitoring in terms of corrosion detection for quite some time. But some of the more remote technologies are really useful to talk about now as we're entering an era, really, I shouldn't say entering, we're in it squarely now, have been for over 2 months, in which a lot of our more traditional activities in terms of going out in the field are a lot more difficult, especially if they involve travel, than what we're used to. So I think their company, Mobiltex, and their innovations are especially important right now. And so hopefully, even if you're not a customer of those guys, I think some of the lessons that they have learned are applicable to everyone in the corrosion industry as we plot forward what things look like in a world where COVID-19 is with us for at least a few more months. And we'll see what science has to say about whether it lasts into 2021 and beyond. Anyway, that's where I will bring this episode to a close. If you want more content before our next episode, this is an ongoing COVID-19 interview series, Materials Performance Coatings Pro Magazine. We'll have more in the days ahead. You can subscribe to NACE Podcast if you have not already to get those delivered straight to you. But if you want more content before our next podcast episode, the best place to get it is online, nace.org, materialsperformance.com, coatingspromag.com. Those are the websites for the association and its publications, in which we have lots of updates on a regular basis on the corrosion industry and also COVID-19 and what it means for industry, for your business, all those types of factors. So again, as always, thanks so much for listening. My name is Ben Dubose. This is another NACE International podcast. Please come back soon for more. Have a good week.